First Samuel chapter 3, first 10 verses. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord hath called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. This part is I that we read in our first reading this afternoon. And now let us kneel to worship our Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. Thou Holy One, Thou All-Gracious One, Thou art the King of Eternal Glory. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy goodness and mercy. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for that goodness and mercy of Thine is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. Without Thy help, without Thy protection, we would have been lost in darkness. Thou, O Heavenly Father, by the voice of Thy truth, the message that Thou hast sent to us in Christ, by the power, that gentle and loving and caring power of Thy Spirit, Thou hast called us out of darkness. Thou hast given us Thy word, O Lord, to reveal to us Thy will. Thou hast called us, O Lord God, many times, until finally we answered. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy calling. We praise Thee, Lord, for Thy patience and loving kindness. How great is Thy goodness and Thy faithfulness, and how wonderful is Thy love. Holy Father, Almighty God, all the idols of the Gentiles are vanity and nothingness. They have eyes and see not, ears and yet they hear not. They have arms and they are helpless. They have feet and cannot move. And so are they that worship them. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, but Thou hast had compassion to our souls, and Thou hast sent Thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, to offer His own self to redeem us from our guilt and shame, to take away our sins and the awful consequences of our sinfulness. O Lord God Almighty, when we were before Thee in our helplessness and hopelessness, in our filthy rags, in our chains, in our blindness, in our deafness, in our darkness, gracious Lord, with that touch of Thy healing love and mercy, Thou hast broken the chains of our slavery. Thou hast opened our eyes to see Thy light, and our ears to hear Thy voice. Thou hast healed us that we might, both of our hands, place into that one helping hand of Thine, that Thou wouldst lead us. O Lord God Almighty, great is Thy goodness and mercy. Wilt Thou ever feel and ever be filling our hearts with love and gratitude for all that Thou hast done for us, O Lord, that our soul may ever bless Thee and all that is in us glorify Thy holy name. Thou hast invited us in Christ to follow Him in self-denial, to offer up our life and living, soul and body, mind and spirit, to worship Thee in that true godliness, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. O gracious Lord, have Thou mercy on us continually, and help us to run into that race that Thou hast appointed for us. Thou give us strength that we would not grow weary, for Thou hast said that the day that wait upon Thee, O Lord, shall not grow weary. They shall run and never faint. Holy Father, give us that strength and power of full submission. Teach us, O Heavenly Father, to serve Thee with love and gratitude, to worship and honor Thee in everything that we do, as we walk here in the flesh. We often sigh and groan, longing for the peace and rest of that heavenly home which we have not seen yet. Yet Thou hast given us faith to believe. Thou hast given us grace to experience and to understand that if Thou love Thy goodness and mercy is so wonderful, so rich. Here, as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, that it must be much more glorious and wonderful in the heavenly mansions. Gracious Lord, make us thou strong in this holy faith, and thou remove all doubts and fears. And thou, Heavenly Father, make our faith strong to bear much of the spiritual fruit through thy love. O Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, thou, in thy loving kindness and thy great patience, continually purify and sanctify us until our hearts become like the priestly censers, where there is fervor from thy altar, the zeal of the holy prophets and of the holy apostles, and where there is the highest reverence for thy great and holy name, the admiration of thy majesty and adoration of thy loving kindness, O Lord, and the deepest gratitude for all that thou art doing for our fallen race, O Savior. That our offering may be acceptable to thee through Christ our Redeemer. Teach us to love thee and all that are thine, and all that is thine, in everyone and in every place, in every situation. Gracious Lord, make our soul free from everything that does not belong to the precious name of thy children and thy disciples in Christ. Make us free, O Heavenly Father, from all the things that are not worthy of thy calling. And thou make us patient and kind, firm and strong, that we may endure in this battle. Lord God Almighty, thou grant us zeal and endurance, same as thou hast given to thy faithful servant Noah, to proclaim thy will and to labor in thy calling with all of his heart and mind. The zeal and fervor of thy servant, the Apostle Paul, and all the others that shared the message heralding thy great judgment day and proclaiming thy wonderful grace. O Lord God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, thou make us good example of true godliness, faithfulness, loving kindness, peace, and joy of thy salvation, O Lord. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, that spiritual fellowship and unity in Christ, that unity and fellowship with all thy faithful ones, that faithfully endured in the battle and blended their tears and their sweat and sometimes their blood. With the tears and sweat of our Redeemer, that was walking proclaiming thy holy word in words and in deeds, with the blood of our Savior that was shed on Calvary. O Lord God Almighty, teach us to do thy will willingly, with zeal, and to walk upon this path of righteousness with the strength and that freshness of thy Spirit, O Lord. Help us to keep our heart and mind set up on that heavenly treasure. Oh, may there be always our heart and our mind. For here we have no abiding city. Our homeland is not on this earth. Thou grant us, O Lord God Almighty, to do thy will faithfully, that we will always have that testimony that we are thine, that we be not lost in this wilderness, O Lord, but that thy Spirit may guide us and thy word teach us, that the perfect example of our Savior and the wonderful examples of thy apostles may strengthen us and be as a pillar of light shining upon the path of righteousness. Holy Father, our enemy is raging. Our enemy is very crafty. But thou, Lord, thou let not the scepter of the godless triumph over the portion of the righteous. Thou defeat the enemy and deliver thy people, O Lord, that the number of the redeemed ones be full before that great and glorious day, the day of joy and gladness, the day that shall be so awful for everyone not prepared. Gracious Lord, grant us thy holy word today again, this afternoon meeting of ours. Lead us and teach us, O Father, and help us to understand thy wonderful and secret and sacred ways. Help us to trust in Thee and to feel, to see that Thou art working, O Lord. That everything that is here on this earth, joy and gladness, or burdens and sadness, everything is for a time. That the true relationship is in Christ. O gracious and loving Lord, Thou make us one in Christ. Strong in faith, filled with love and gratitude, leaning hope and expecting Thy coming. Lord God Almighty, save all those that Thou hast redeemed. Let no one hesitate, lest someone be too late. Holy Father, be Thou with us, and make us Thine own. That after this short pilgrimage, we may rejoice around that fountain of life, around the throne of glory, that we may rejoice with all those that Thou hast redeemed, the great multitude which cannot be numbered. Gracious Lord, that our soul may adore Thee and bless Thy glorious name, praise and magnify Thee to endless eternity. Amen. In our second reading, let us read from the same chapter 3, first book of Samuel, from the verse number 11 to the end of this chapter. 1 Samuel 3:11. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel, and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every word, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. After Samuel was brought and left with the priest in the house of the Lord, which at that time was a big tent. And Samuel, as a child, was growing and serving the Lord as a child. We see here in the chapter 2, verse 11, that Elkanah, the father of Samuel, and Hannah, the mother of Samuel, and the rest of that household returned to Ramah, to their home. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli the priest. But the sons of Eli were evil, wicked men. They were the priests, teaching the people the law, offering sacrifices, and proceeding with the ordinances of the Lord for the people, and yet they themselves knew not the Lord. They didn't believe the Lord. They didn't believe the word of God. Their custom with the people was, when any man offered sacrifice, their servant came while the flesh was in seething, cooking, boiling, with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand, the servant that is, came and he struck into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Now this, I think, was the law. It might be worth a moment of time to turn to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 29 and on, to see if we can, right off hand, find something concerning this law, which portion of the sacrifices belong to the priests. Leviticus 7:29 and on says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall he give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifice of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offered the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part." And so on. We also read in the New Testament that Paul the Apostle said that it was right that those that minister in the gospel should live of the gospel. That if they use all of their time and strength to proclaim the gospel of the Lord, then those that believe the gospel should share of their material, physical goods for the needs of those that preach the gospel. And yet Paul says, "But I am not writing this that so be it done to me." Paul found greater glory and honor in self-denial, in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ freely, not expecting any reward here in this life. Now, it seemed to me that the priests, the sons of Eli, were greedy people and also very rude people, very oppressive toward the children of Israel. Not only that they enforced the portion that they wanted to take for themselves, but they also neglected the ordinance for the sacrifices, so that the people that came to offer sacrifices were despised and rejected, put down by the priests. And also the ordinance and that spiritual significance of offering sacrifices was desecrated, abased, despised. And if any man said unto the servant of the priest, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, as the ordinance was, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, no, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for the people abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, Samuel's mother, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and he did hear all that his sons did unto all Israel, how they desecrated the sacrifices of the Lord. But then, since they disrespected their ministry and the ordinances of the law, they went even further in their iniquity. And we read here that they were committing fornication and adultery with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It seemed to me that it was a custom of the heathen people, the Amorites, and the other polluted, filthy idol worshippers of that time. It was a custom that their religious ceremonies were mixed with immorality. And now the priests of the Lord that should have instructed the people of Israel that the God of Israel is the God of purity and holiness, they themselves started imitating or following the example of the other nations that the Lord did destroy before the children of Israel to give the land to them for their inheritance. But Eli did not like that. He talked to his sons, he rebuked them, he instructed them not to do that. He said unto them, why do ye such things? I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now, Eli rebuked them. Was Eli therefore right in the sight of the Lord? What was Eli supposed to do? What would Eli do if one of his daughters-in-law committed fornication? Would he talk to her the same way and say, "No, my daughter, that's not nice, don't do that. The Lord is not pleased with that"? Or would he say like Judah, "Bring her out to be burned"? You see, Eli, with his mildness, tolerance toward that grievous sin and sins of his sons, Eli also transgressed, despised, and rejected the ordinance of the Lord. For that same law said, what should be done to those that commit fornication? And the child Samuel, probably seeing and hearing so much of their iniquity, was growing, and he grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with man. The people of Israel that were coming to the house of God to offer their sacrifices abhorred the iniquity of Eli's sons. But seeing this child and this young man growing before the Lord in the fear of God, in true, sincere godliness, the people had a hope and an expectation that someday the Lord will visit the iniquity and renew the blessing in the house of God. And there came a man of God, a prophet, unto Eli, and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, when we listen this carefully, we will see quite a difference between the tone and the words that God is talking to Eli. Eli did not commit fornication or adultery. His sons did. But there is quite a different tone and the words chosen for this message than the words and the tone that Eli used to rebuke his sons. You see, the Lord did not send any message to his sons. They were deaf. They didn't listen to the voice of God anymore. They were condemned by their own stubborn sinfulness. But the man of God, a prophet, came to Eli and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto thy house, unto the house of thy father, all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm, and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, and Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest, that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in mine mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thy house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. That was the message from God. After the message that was recorded in the law of God. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. What did Eli do after this message? Nothing. Just nothing. No change. His sons are indulging in their iniquity all the time. And Eli is either too old or too negligent to make any corrections. Eli did not call a solemn assembly. He did not call for all the elders of Israel. He did not call for the captains of the host. He did not tell them, these my sons are evil, wicked men. They have to be judged. No, Eli was quiet, and so he shared in their judgment. How sad. How awful. If he was faithful so long, why couldn't he be faithful to the end? But the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no open vision. How sad, beloved. Very sad. You know, the word of God should not be rare in our days. We should have it every day. We also should have an open vision to see what God has revealed to us. To see that only in Christ we have salvation and the abundance of His grace. To see that all of this world will last for a short time. To know that the sadness and the difficulties of this battle is for a time also. That soon the Lord will come in glory and gather His redeemed ones to be with Him forever. That's an open vision for us. And we should know that and feel that. That should be our comfort, our joy. Also our wall between us and the world, that we would not desire the pleasures of this world. So it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, it's time for night rest. Eli's eyes were growing dim. He couldn't see very well. He was an old man. And before one night, before the lamps went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel, hearing someone calling his voice, ran to Eli, the priest, the old priest, and said, here am I. Thou art calling me. And Samuel answered, no, I'm not. Go back and sleep. And Samuel went back. And the second time, the same voice is calling. And Samuel come again to Eli and says, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli answered, "No, I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Why was Eli? If Eli thought that Samuel had a dream, or that somehow there was some wrong impression, that Samuel only thought somebody did call Samuel, but not really, it didn't really happen. If Eli thought that might have been the case first time, but second time, Eli still repeats the same thing. But then, third time, something, a new thought, new idea came to Eli's mind. God is calling the child. Now, God is calling Samuel. And yet Samuel did not understand that calling. Finally, Eli did understand that God is calling Samuel, and yet God is not calling Eli. How mysterious are the ways of the Lord. Samuel did not know the Lord yet. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And so the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord hath called the child. I wonder, beloved, what was in the heart and in the mind of this old man. He by now could not expect anything good from the Lord. If there be any message, it's going to be an awful message for him, because he just disobeyed the word of God. And so Eli loved this child. It's an amazing thing, beloved, that Eli did not love sin, and yet he had not zeal nor fervor for the Lord to do something, because he loved his sons physically. He did not know what the love of the Lord is for his children. I wonder if these were the only sons of Eli. Apparently, there were other priests. I think that Eli had younger brothers, but Eli was the high priest because he was the eldest son of the preceding high priest. And now his sons were in the priestly office, but there were other priests in other parts of the land, in other cities of all over the land of Israel. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, but this time the call is repeated. Samuel was somehow prepared now, instructed by Eli, for Eli said to Samuel, "If he called thee." You see, Samuel is talking about another person, "if he called thee." And Eli is talking of another person to Samuel, and Samuel probably realized that this he is God. "If he call thee," says Eli, "thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. This time he repeated the name. Then Samuel answered, Speak. Somehow the word Lord did not come out. Samuel was afraid. It was an awesome thing to hear the voice of God. So he said only, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth shall tingle. It's going to be an awful news. God has told Eli that he will judge Eli's house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves accursed, and he restrained them not. You see? When God sent the message that God is going to judge, he didn't send that message just to make Eli fear from that moment until the judgment comes, but to do something to avoid that judgment, to escape the severe judgment of God by making corrections. And now he says, The iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Too late. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And Eli said, What is the thing that hath been said unto thee? This time it seemed to me, beloved, that Eli is afraid of saying the name of God. I pray thee, hide it not from me. So be it done to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, of all the things that he said unto thee. It was a conditional curse, the judgment. It was an adjuration, an urgent request, demand to say. Well, why did Eli say, God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me? If Eli expected something good, first, Samuel would not have to hide, to fear to tell Eli anything good, a good message, a message that would be welcomed, a message from the Lord. And in that case, this curse would be a blessing. God do so to thee and more also, if it was something good. Eli expected judgment. Oh, he knew very well that he deserved that. And Samuel told Eli everything and hid nothing from him. And now hear the answer of Eli. Beloved, the people of Nineveh, that great city of the Gentiles, godless people, awful people, when they heard the message of Jonah the prophet, the king rose up from off his throne and put off his royal garments, and he put on sackcloth and sat down in ashes and proclaimed fasting. No one may eat, not even drink anything for 3 days. And there was an awful noise. All the cattle was noisy, asking food and water. Children were crying. And the people were crying too. And the Lord had compassion and did not destroy Nineveh. But Eli was not only physically getting blind, he became spiritually blind. His answer is an awful answer. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good to him. He will rather go to hell than disturb his earthly physical comfort. It would have been an awful thing for Eli to call for judgment against his sons, but it would have saved his soul, because that way he would reveal plainly that he respects God more than any man. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not allow any of Samuel's words to fall to the ground. Imagine a child, a young man, so careful, so godly, that he never spake any vain words. Whatever came between Samuel's lips was godly, a message from God for man. And all Israel, from one end to the other, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel is established a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, directly, by the plain message, word by word. Samuel listened to the voice of God, and God instructed Samuel. Now, Samuel heard the word of God every time when God appeared and gave a message to Samuel. Today we have the whole message of God. The whole book is given to us. We should hear that. We should pray that we hear and understand, and also that the Lord will enable us to live accordingly, that the word of God be our bread of heaven, our living water, the foundation of our living, the path of righteousness for us, and the goal of our striving, that we may be indeed the children of the Heavenly Father and the disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This was the third message that Eli received through the child Samuel. The first message came from the law, from the word of God, the same law, the same books of the prophets that they were reading to the people, and yet they themselves, the priests, did not obey it. The second message came through a prophet, the man of God, that came and very sternly rebuked Eli and his sons. The third message came through an innocent child, and after all of that, Eli is motionless. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good in his sight. It was not very long after that, a national disaster is coming. Massive armies of the Philistines are coming against Israel, and the children of Israel, trusting that the Lord is going to deliver them and give them victory, came to battle against the Philistines, and many of them died in that war. It was a disaster. And they asked one another, their elders, their captains, their army officers, and they say, why did the Lord do this to us? Why did the Lord allow that we lose the war and so many people have been slain in this battle? They ask why. How many people among the children of Israel talked to Eli and said, thy sons are doing iniquity and lawlessness? And now they still expect the Lord to be with them, and they did nothing to remove sin from among themselves their midst. So they think, well, if the Lord allowed the children of Israel to be slain in the battle, the Lord will not allow His Ark of the Covenant, His holy thing that was dedicated long ago in the days of Moses, to be captured by the Philistines. So they asked that the Ark of the Covenant be brought to the battlefield. They probably knew and remembered the story about Jericho, how the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant around the walls of Jericho, and the walls of Jericho fell down flat. So that was done by the commandment of God. Now they try to do the same thing by the commandment of men, and didn't work. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sent His disciples two and two in every city where He Himself intended to come and preach the gospel, the word of God, He told them, heal and cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, and do all the miracles that He told them to do. And they did it, and they returned back joyfully. When the Lord, with a few of His disciples, was up on the mountain of transfiguration, all the rest of the disciples were at the foothill. And a man came with his son and pleaded, begged for healing. And they wanted, the disciples wanted to try to heal the child, but could not. Why? Because the Lord did not send them to do that. You see, this time they brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And who is going to bring the Ark, and who is going to officiate as a priest or the priests of the Lord? Two wicked sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. And the battle joined again, and they were smitten badly, and they lost the war, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured, and the two wicked priests were slain right there on the battlefield. And the man is running from the battlefield, all frightened, horrified with what happened, and he comes to the priestly city in Shiloh, and he tells the news to the elders of the city, and the news spread like a lightning through the city, and the whole city is crying. And the man came to the old priest Eli, and Eli was sitting on his chair in fear and waiting what will happen. What he feared, it did happen. And when the man came to him, he said, I came from the battle. We were smitten by the Philistines, and thy two sons are dead, and the Ark of the Covenant is captured. And Eli fell down from his chair, broke his neck, and died. So the father, the parent, that did not want to respect the word of God more than his wicked sons, died with them. He shared in the judgment because he did not share the word of God. How important that is, that we follow the Lord, even when the time comes that one be taken and the other left, that in the same family two be against three and three against two, always to be on the side of the Lord, always to follow His word. May the Lord lead us and guide us and be with us, that we also could be with Him in all the days of our journey, that He would take us into His glory to be with Him forever. Amen.